الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, Nabi Sallam says in hadith, very famous hadith, which I'm going to quote more often than what I normally do, إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anybody know the next part of that hadith? Salafis إن خير الحديث إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله. That the best what's the word? Hadith here doesn't mean hadith. This means the best speech. The best speech. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the best speech is the speech of who? The speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Welcome, Haji Muhammad. I was waiting, mashallah, Allah answered my dua. Haji Muhammad is the son of the late Imam Muhammad Zain Ba'din of Salt River, my good old friend. Yeah, that's all. We had good times together, me and your dad. He's much older than me, but Allah grant him Jannah, inshallah. Inna ahsana al-hadithi kitabullah. Wa khayra al-hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is established now in the hadith, and this hadith is narrated by in the Sunan of Abu Dawood. And I want you to, your homework will be for next week, is to find this hadith. Find this hadith on Google. The hadith starts with the best speech is the speech of Allah. And try and establish the whether it is sahih, whether it is hasan, what is the level of authenticity of the hadith? Does it comply with the highest level, the middle level, or the low level? So you'll see the ahsan or sahih. If you see ahsan, it's equal to sahih. وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the best direction to the truth is the direction given to us by Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. And then Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم says, and every innovation and every new thing is innovation in the deen. Muhdatha yamit in the deen. Wa kullu bid'atin dalala, wa kullu dalalatin fil nahr. And every innovation in the deen is misguidance. Every innovation in the deen is misguidance. And every misguidance is where? In the jahannam. Every misguidance is in the jahannam. So, inshallah, we will always exhaust first the Quran and then the hadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and then the practice of the Sahaba, because that is the directive which comes from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we should follow him or follow those Khulafa al-Rashidun min Ba'di. Those Khulafa al-Rashidun Ba'di means Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a very important statement in Surah Al-Hujarat. And I also want you to look up this verse, because these are verses you're going to need in this time in which we live. These are verses, these are verses which is like armor and armaments that you have to defend yourself in this time. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a lot about this time. And one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujarat, which is the 49th surah, verse number 16, قل أفتعلمون الله بدينكم. What does Allah say in this verse? قل, say to them, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, say to them, do you want to teach Allah His deen? أفتعلمون الله بدينكم. You want to teach Allah His deen? والله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. And Allah is the one who knows what is in the heavens and the earth. So we, what do we do? We say that we learn our deen from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this will become a more difficult notion to talk about. And I will next week, inshallah, go a little bit into this, discussing the work of Imam al-Shatibi. And I've told you who Imam al-Shatibi was. Imam al-Shatibi was Andalusian. He was the best Andalusian scholar in the time of Andalusia. And we ruled Andalusia for, I think, about 800 years. And he's recognized to be the top scholar of Andalusia. And the translation which I did of, what is the name of the book? When Jurists Differ, will become more relevant for my students as these lectures continue. Because I will use my book to refer to al-Shatibi as well and to see what he says about the world in which he lived and the world in which we live. And surprisingly, I was reading last night that the world in which he lived is the same world in which we lived. And it is the same world that Imam Malik lived in with. Imam Malik one day said to his students, he said, you know, the only thing I recognize of my deen is the adhan. And where did he live? He lived in Medina. He said the only thing that I recognize to be exactly from the Nabi alayhi salam is the adhan. Subhanallah. So this overlooking, not overlooking, but reinterpretation of the deen, this is what is called modernism, and there are many other words for it, is to adapt the deen. To try and formulate the deen in the narrative of societies. For example, we must have a Quran that is translated in the vernacular of we must write it in Kumbayis Afrikaans so people understand it. Or Kumbayis English so people will understand it. This is the thrust of the modernists, you know, that, oh, this Quran is too difficult to understand. Oh, we must write it simpler for the people to understand. Which means that eventually people will be so distanced from the Quran, they won't know. They would have lost sight of the source. And this happened from the time of Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Even before, some of the Sahaba also said, I don't recognize the Salah anymore. Meaning what? I don't recognize the Salah that was made by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, if today the Prophet had to come into the masjid and see the people make salah, I would say, but what is this? Maybe the ruku and the sujood would be the same. But all the additions that we've made, and we've heard the additions that we've made. So, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah knows what is in the heavens and the earth. We have to go to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us. I am not saying that there's something wrong with the madahib. I am not saying that there's something wrong with the scholars. I am saying that every single one of us need to go back to the Quran and Sunnah, including the greatest scholar that walks on the earth today. He has to go back to the Quran. If he doesn't go back to the Quran and Sunnah and writes what he thinks is written in very nice English, so that must be the truth. No. It is what? So when I give you the reference, I mean, you have to go to the Quran and look at this verse. Because people are going to ask you, but you know, we see you now do this, or you see, you say, then you will tell them, I get my deen from Allah, from the Quran, and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, at the day of, on the day of judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be where? Where will Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam be? Hawd. Next to the Hawd, the big lake. And at that lake he will stand and we will stand in queues and he will, Jibreel will stand there, angel will stand there, and he will say, yeah, this is one of your ummah. This is one of your ummah. That would give him from the water. And then somebody will come along, and the angel will say to the Nabi, this man, not from your ummah. Allah said, but how can you say that? He's from my ummah. I can read the kalima, he's from my ummah. He's standing in the queue of my ummah. And the angel will say, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي. You don't know, O Muhammad, the innovations that he had brought into the deen and practiced after you died. His culture was more important than his deen, so no water for him. He's not one of your ummah. Because what is an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? An ummati, as I said last week, is the one, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell them, if you say you love Allah, fattabi'uni, then follow me. So there can be no love for Allah without following Muhammad. So this will follow us. In a qabr, the angel will come and say, sorry, you said you were an ummah of the ummah of Muhammad. Did you instruct your children to bury you like this? Is this the way a Muslim gets buried? It'll start there. See all the flowers on top of you? You don't even dare, you're wasting already. You couldn't give sadaqah when you were alive. But you've got a thousand rands of flowers on you. You are the cause of it. You might have, but you're the cause because you don't give right instructions. Your instructions was poor. Your instructions was, well, lost my frikkenness. Lost my fadayina. Lost my, understand that it's what? Subhanallah. And what do you find? All the bid'ah starts in the salah. All the bid'ah starts in the salah. Why is it, what is a bid'ah? That which was not done by the Prophet, nor was it done when the Prophet had passed away. And the beautiful things is only the beautiful things which the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did and which is commanded by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Isn't it? You look shocked. Must bring some shock tablets with him. All right. I was reading, and you know, reading, there's no substitute for reading. You have to read it. And when I say look up a verse, I mean it. And memorize it. It's a short verse, you memorize that verse. So when somebody says to you, why are you doing this? You say, أَفَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. You want to teach Allah His deen? You want to teach Allah is deen, my son? Only Allah is the teacher of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came to teach us the deen. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So, you know, we have, and to be critical, Imam Shatibi says, Imam Hassan al-Basri says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the people who speak the truth will always be few. Badal Islamu ghariban, wa sa'udu ghariban. This deen started strange and will become strange. And the strange will always be in the minority. Are we in a minority world as Muslims? We are maybe a big minority, but we're still not the majority. And those who will try and unfold the truth, they'll also be the minority. For example, because it's difficult. Culture is something that is like a plaster on your arm, you know. Once they put that plaster on, it's difficult. You have to sort. The surgeon has to take a saw to sort open it to take it off. That's what difficult it is. But the fruits of it is great. Fruits of it is really great. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith, Man qara al Quran. Man qara. You know, there's always this thing about Hifzul Quran. People memorize the Quran. MashaAllah, beautiful. People have been memorizing the Quran since the time of the Nabi. Nabi was Hafiz al Quran. Well, not so with the Sahaba Hafiz al Quran. Majority of them were not Hafiz al Quran. So you ask yourself, why? We are so set on Hifz. We want our children to send them to a Hifz school. You know, take them out of school. Let's go do hifz. But what does the hadith really say about the Quran? And this hadith is in also Sunan Abu Dawud, hadith 1453. Man qara' al-Quran. The person who reads the Quran. Wa'amila biha. And practices his life in accordance with what he reads in the Quran. So what is the first condition? Those who read the Quran. Second condition? Those who implement the Quran. Ulbisa walidahu tajan yawm al-qiyamah. What will happen to him? Nothing. Hadith doesn't say anything will happen to him. If he reads the Quran and he practices the Quran, the next part of the sentence deals with somebody else. Ulbisa is the passive tense of the verb labisa. It means walidahu, his parents. What about his parents? On the head of his parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a taj, crown. When I came across the hadith, I said to myself, but I've always understood that if you let your child become hafiz, then you will go to Jannah and Allah will put a crown on your head. Because if you read the Quran parent fashion, you don't benefit, nobody else benefits. Isn't it? Barakah you get. Reward you get. But remember, the day of Qiyamah will be recognized by what? What will be the first thing that we will know when we wake up on that day? And I spoke about the Sa'ah last week, and I'm totally off my topic. Spoke about the last hour. What will happen when you wake up that morning? The first thing will be that the Quran will be empty. The Hufadas' minds will be empty. They will remember nothing of the Quran. The Quran, there will be no Quran. People will not remember their kalima. And eventually the last one of them won't even remember the word Allah. Subhanallah. But what would have happened if you had read the Quran and you had practiced the Quran? Your parents will still be get a crown on the day of Qiyamah. Whether the Quran is empty, whether they've been hafiz and they lost all of it. But if they had read the Quran, so what must you teach your children? You must teach them short verses. Short, important verses for the time in which we live. Because we attack many times. Aren't we? Those of us who want to follow the Quran and Sunnah. People are shocked. You don't do this. You don't do that. Don't do that. But it's a good thing. All the good things they want to do away with, people say. All the nice things they want to do away with. But are those things, has it been commanded by Allah and His Messenger? Why should I suffer in my grave in Qiyamah because of something that somebody else had started? Why should you suffer? All right. Any questions on that? If not, we are still busy with our extraction of the rules and laws of tayammum from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next that we will deal with is ma yubahu bi tayammum. What is allowed for you to do with tayammum? Remember last week he said the very important hadith? I brought the book with us to show it to you again. It's a lovely book. We said that there are two important things in this book, of this particular hadith on tayammum. Two very important items we learn from this. One, the Prophet did it against the wall. Of course, also, he also did it down on the ground, on the wall. And then he rubbed his face and his and his hands. Only his hands. We will come to know the inside of the hands, the outside of the hands, or the inside and outside of the hands. We need to know that. But let's see. يُسْتَبَاحُ بِمَا يُسْتَبَاحُ بِالْهُدُوء وَالْغُسُلِ لِمَنْ لَمْ لَا يَجِدِ الْمَاءِ. Everything which is allowed for you to do with wudu, you can do with tayammum. General. If you have tayammum, everything you can do with wudu, you can do with tayammum. Salah, what else? Touching the Quran, what else? Making tawaf, what else? Okay? So there are many things. لِأَنَّ حُكْمَ التَّيَمُّ. The rule of tayammum, the hukum of tayammum, the rule of tayammum is when it is accompanied by an excuse, when tayammum is accompanied by an excuse, لَوْ حُكْمُ الْهُدُوء, then it is the same rule as applies when you have abdas. لِمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ جُنُوبًا. I'm not going to go there now. It also has tayammum. You can also do with tayammum if you need a fadl bath. If you have janaba and you can't use water or there's no water, then you can also do everything you do as if you had done your wudu. You can make salah, you can make tawaf, what else? Etc., etc., etc. You make salah like the mutawaddi, make salah like the person who is wudu, make salah. Everything that is permissible for the person who has taken a ghusl is also permissible for the person who has taken wudu. He may make as many salawat or salah as is allowed for him as if he had wudu. So let's assume I made tayammum before Fajr, and I still have wudu at the time of Dhuhr, then I make Dhuhr. We will learn later that that which nullifies the wudu also nullifies the tayammum. Same ahkam, rules apply. We know, of course, and we've learned that yes, you must take wudu, no. In terms of the understanding of the Sunnah and the Quran, you do not have to repeat the wudu if a new waqt comes in. Nor do you have to make the wudu when the waqt comes in. It's not prescribed. These were additions added to ulama, or the mujtahidun, like Imam Shafi, Abu Hanifa. They applied their minds at the time. This was their job. They did this. So they extended, they applied their minds, and these are the things which they added to the fundamentals which we are doing from the Quran and Sunnah. And the wudu doesn't break just because you've gone into another waqt. No. If the water is still not available and you're still ill, you're in the same condition. Why should you repeat the wudu? And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? And I've made a note of that also. Of where you can find it. Oh, here it is. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 185. Most of you know this verse. Most of you have heard this verse. Verse has to do with Sawm, it has to do with the Quran, and so forth and so on. In this verse, it's a long verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَعُسْرَ. What does Allah say? This is a statement made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not dependent on the verse that comes before that or the verse that comes after that. This is a statement applicable to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is it?
What's the discount name, Muhammad?
Yeah, I know. If it wasn't in the Majid, you'd have switched it off just like that. But because you're sitting here, you know, you press all the buttons. Now imagine you're in Salah and you have a ringtone that is some music. I've heard so many songs being played in the Salah. So please, you know, put off your... All right. So what did I say now? The verse in the Holy Quran. What does the verse say? The verse says, Yuridullah. Allah wishes. What does Allah wish? For you, ease. What does ease mean? The absence of what? The absence of? Difficulty. Absence of difficulty. The statement is clear. The statement is very clear. Allah says, Yuridullahu bikum. Allah wants to make things easy for you. Now, is making wudu every time the waqt goes out, is that making easy for you? It's not. Is it, if you apply this, the rules of wudu, that is easy. Why should it not apply, the rules of wudu not apply? When the tayammum is in place of wudu. Is it in place of wudu or not? It's in place of wudu. You see, now we're applying our minds now, you see. There's the ayah of the Quran, Yuridullahu bikum al-yusra. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمْ الْعُسْرَ. Allah does not want to make things difficult for us. We make things difficult for ourselves. If we should just follow the Quran and Sunnah, this thing will be 90% easier to follow. I guarantee you. 90% easier to follow. We have put so many things that has got nothing to do with Islam. So many nights that have got nothing to do with Islam. Somebody asked me, my brother-in-law is where the janazah is, where the kifayat is, there in Britain. So he phoned me yesterday. So he phoned me. He says, you coming to the janazah? He's making a joke, obviously. So I said, no, man. I sent them an email and I said, look, I can't come for the janazah, but I'll come for the 7 nights, is all right. You've done some research on that question, but we're not going to go into that now. All right. All right. So the difference of opinion, says Imam who? Al-Albani. He says, the difference of opinion regarding whether you should repeat the wudu after the waqt has gone out, there are a lot of differences on that. Imam Malik has got his view, Shafi has got his view, Abu Hanifa has got his view, all these imams. And not only them, there were nearly 500 madahib in the deen, nearly 500. Four of them have survived. Four have survived. These are the four that I've just mentioned to you. All right. So we have established that in the absence of water, tayammum is allowed in the Quran and in the hadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I've quoted the hadith last week. I'm not going to quote it again. But I just want to mention this book for those of you who weren't here last week. This book's name, the kitab's name is Al-Lu'lu al-Marjan fi mattafaqa alayhi Imam al-Bukhari wa Imam Muslim. This kitab consists of all the ahadith agreed upon by who? By the two top muhaddithun of all time, Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Which means it is at the top of the list of the most authentic hadith of the Nabi alayhi as-salatu wassalam. And Imam Al-Albani says, لم أجد في حديث صحيح تصريحا بأنه يجب أن يتيمم لكل فريضة. He said, there is no. He has not found any hadith, authentic hadith, which says that you have to repeat the wudu in every salah or when you make any fard salah. After making any fard salah. Some of the ulama even said that if you're a slave and you ran away from your master, you can't take tayammum. That's your punishment. People have applied their minds. I mean, and that is the ijtihad. Our ijtihad starts with the Quran and then the Sunnah. And if we don't find anything there, then where do we go then? Where does the mujtahid go? Yes. Ibrahim? You first go to qiyas and ijma', and then you apply your ijtihad. What is qiyas? Qiyas can only be done on matters outside of ibadat. What is qiyas? Qiyas is to take, you're confronted with a situation now, which if you look at that, whether that situation was present at the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you don't find it, but there's something else which is very close to your situation. Then you will compare the two. And the hukum for this one will be the same as the hukum for this one. Very simple example, and one which is in the news now for a long time, legally also, that dakha is not mentioned in the Quran to be haram. No, is drugs mentioned in the Quran to be haram? It's no drugs. No dakhal. So how do we then establish, how can we say that dakhal is haram to smoke and drugs is haram to take? Your son can say, but that is not in the Quran. The Prophet didn't speak about it. So, you know, it's fine. Because what does the Sharia say? And if he's a clever boy, if he studied the deen, because clever boys who study the deen, they also take drugs. He will say that the rule in law is al-aslu fil ashya al-ibaha. That the fundamental, if you want to say whether something's haram or halal, what is the rule? You don't have a Quran with you, you don't have an alim with you, you don't have nobody with you. So you're sitting with some food in front of you and you say to yourself, This is fish. I can see it's fish. But I'm doubtful, you know, about eating this fish. Then we learn when we do usul al-fiqh, the study of law, that al-asl fil ashya, the basis of all things which Allah created is that it is halal. Everything that is in front, except those things which are haram. We know what they are. They're not many. So the basis of everything. So if you see fish in front of you, what is the first thing I say? Al-aslu fil ashya al-ibah. The basis of everything is that it is halal. Illa fil ibadat. Except in ibadah. You can't say that everything is halal in ibadah also. You can't say, I want to do this. It sounds good. So I'm going to do it. No. Illa fil ibadah. Ibadah can only come from who? Because to who do we make ibadah? To make ibadah to your sheikh? No. To make ibadah to your father? No. To make ibadah to your imam? No. Ibadah is for who? And what is the ayah which confirms that in the Quran? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I have not created man and jinn except what? That they should worship me. So worship is a fundamental that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. The Prophet could not institute ibadah. Ibadah comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakah is ibadah. Hajj is ibadah. To say La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah is ibadah. What else is ibadah? To fast is ibadah. To make salah is ibadah. To go for hajj is ibadah. Ibadah comes only from, if I make an ibadah on my own, if I institute an ibadah, if I make something an ibadah which Allah and His Prophet did not make an ibadah, then I'm committing no. There's still istighfar that you can make for that. Then I'm introducing something into the deen which Allah did not pick. It's a bid'ah. It's an innovation. وَكُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And where will dalala begin for bid'ah? From the time you close your eyes till the time you appear in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't say, Ya Allah, take it for whom? Yeah, you will say. You will say, Allah will ask you, but who misled you? Who the one? And we will, what do we say? Rabbana inna ata'na sadatana wa kubara'ana. What will we say? You're standing there naked. Allah's asking you, come here. Fai, come here. Did you tell the people this? Did you tell them? Or he will call you and say, Muhammad, mashallah. You did this and this and this on the dunya. Where did you come from? Allah didn't go to the world. Allah says in the Quran the answer. Allah gives the answer in the Quran. What does Allah say? Inna ata'na sadatana wa kubara'ana fa adalluna sabil. We will say, oh Allah, we followed our kubara'ana, our great ones, our leaders. We followed our leaders. فَأَضَلُّنَا السَّبِيلِ And they misguided us. رَبَّنَا آتِهِمْ ضِعَفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَالْعَنْهُمْ لَعْنًا كَبِيرًا And what we will say, what will we say? Oh Allah, give him a double punishment. And curse him with a mighty curse. Because now the deed is done. We followed. And we've done. And we have gone against the first principle of Islam. What is the first principle of Islam? That you are answerable for your own sins. You can't blame anybody else on their qiyam. You can say, oh Allah cursed them with a double curse. You can say our leaders have misled us, but that's your argument. What will the shaitan say? I didn't tell him to do it. I just showed him where to go and he said he followed. I pointed there and he went there. I pointed there and he went there. Don't blame me. So, we make, and I said, and I told you what Imam Malik said. He said, the only thing I recognize of Islam is the Adhan. He was living in Medina. He never left Medina. Subhanallah. Malik never left Medina. All right. Also, if you fear, I must finish this, you know. My son-in-law has asked me like a month ago, when are you going to do tayammum? All right. If you fear that there is water, but the water will harm you, what then? There's water, warm water, nice water, water from your, you know, you open your tap and this nice warm water comes out there. But you can't use it. For medical reasons, obviously you have a medical reason for not using it. Can you take tayammum? Let's look at the hadith of Ibn Dawood, Abu Dawood, from Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu ta'ala. And I'm doing this because I want to show you how we extract and why we extract the law from the Quran and Sunnah. Because if you disagree with this, you must bring a better hadith. If you disagree with the ayah of the Quran, astaghfirullah, you must make tawbah. Isn't it? If somebody says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so, أَفَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ You want to teach Allah His deen? You want to bring into things into this deen which is not part of the deen? What are you doing? You're saying to Allah, you forgot to put this in. That bottle of water should be in here. This book should be in there. This topi should be in there. All these things should be. I always wear kurta all the time, also in there. As if the Prophet brought a new art. As if the Prophet brought fashion. Did the Prophet bring fashion? The Prophet bring any fashion? But we think we're very fashionable when we wear the Arabian cloak, isn't it? We think very fashionable. Today the ulama just is known by the dress like me. I'm not an alim, astaghfirullah. But we seem to be known more and more. If we don't wear, if I walk into KC and I've got a suit on, I like to wear a suit, then I can see how people look at me. Then I say to myself, I can see, did the Prophet tell us you must wear like this and wear like that? No, he didn't. That was the dress of Arabia. He said, cover your aura. Be clean and cover your aura. All right. So let's look at hadith, at this hadith. Sorry, man, we're not going to finish today. But I'll do it with you one on one. Very important hadith. Jabir ibn Abdullah, you've heard the name. He said, "Kharajna fi safar." He says we went on a journey. Somewhere they went. Somewhere Sahaba went. فَأَصَابَ رَجُلًا مِنَّا حَجَرًا. And somebody threw a stone away. This Sahabi was hit by a stone. فَسَجَّوْا فِي رَأْسِ. And he had a gash in his head. Gash in his head. ثم then at night he went to sleep and he had a dream. فسأل أصحابه, because he now had to take a bath. So he went around and he asked the companions, what should I do? You know, cashier, it's bleeding. هل تجدون له رخصة في التيمم? Ask him, is there a rukhsa? Is there an easy way for me to come out of not taking ghusl? Is there something I can do so that I don't have to pour water on this, my head? It's a gash in my head. فَقَالُوا مَا نَجِدُ لَكَ رُخْصَ. So what did they say to him? Amal shekhtar. Amal shekhtar. They didn't know anything about the matter, but all of them gave the verdict. What is the verdict gave? No. Nothing you can do. Sorry. You have to take a ghusl. Sorry. You got junub, you got janaba, must take a ghusl. They said, because you can use water. You can use water. So you must use water. فَاغْتَسَلَ فَمَاتَ. He took a bath. Threw the water over his head, he died. That's been quite a gash. Of course, you know, if you are 20 Sahaba, 19 Sahaba, say, but 19 Sahaba doesn't know the law. So you can have 20 sheikhs around you, and if they all tell you something, you have to confirm what they say is true. You can cause somebody's death, physical death, by not knowing what you're talking about. What would they have said? Okay, wait, ma. When we get to Medina, you can ask the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't know the answer. We surmise that you can use water, so. فَلَمَّا قَدِمْنَا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أُخْبِرْنَاهُ بِذَلِكَ. So when they came to Medina, first thing they said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is what happened. All of us. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, قَتَلُوا قَتَلَهُمْ اللَّهُ. The Prophet said, You killed him. You killed him because of your lack of knowledge. Caused his death. And so, a lot of us will punish because we got the wrong answer, not because we wanted to do what we did. But because we got the wrong answer and we did it, and it was not part of the deed. It was a bid'ah or even shirk. أَلَا سَأَلُوا إِذَا لَمْ يَعْلَمُوا. The Prophet ﷺ said, he was angry. Don't you ask if you don't know?
Prophet said, don't you ask if you don't know? فَإِنَّ فَشِفَاءَ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ Prophet said, the person who doesn't know, what must he do? السؤال, he must ask. I know that many of us who are born ulama, I know that. Many of us. People who say, we just know. Because I come from a line of ulama. Like the Abdurrahman, for example. So all of them think they're all ulama. And other people just assume that other people think they know. And so, it's like the Pied Piper. Remember the Pied Piper story? He took all the rats and then what happened? The children went with him or something and they all died or something. No. All right. Then the Prophet gave the answer. He said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَكْفِي أَن يَتَيَمَّمْ وَيَعْصِبُ عَلَى جَرْحِهِ Prophet said, it was enough for him to take tayammum and to do what? To wrap, to put a wrap around the gap. Say it that way. To put a wrap around and then to take tayammum. That's all he had to do. He only had to put a wrap on it and take tayammum. No water required. It's like the things that they wash your car with nowadays. No water required. Guy says, don't worry. No water required. That's tayammum. ثم يمسح عليه فيغسل سأو sorry I was wrong. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said he should take tayammum. He must take tayammum first. Why is he taking tayammum? For that gash. For the gash. Then he should cover the gash. And then he should take a ghusl without wetting that part of his head. So the tayammum is for what? For the gash. Alright, fine. So all agree, all the ulama agree that it is the use of tayammum is legitimate when you have an excuse. Then maybe I should answer the question. Somebody asked a question about bleeding. It's not hayd, it's just bleeding. You have a hand that bleeding, you have an arm that's bleeding, you have somebody in the face that's bleeding, someone's bleeding. So blood is coming out of your body. How do you make salah? Maybe bleeding a little bit continuously. Or it bleeds maybe just when you make salah. If it's a little bleeding, it doesn't affect salah, it doesn't affect your wudu. It does not affect your wudu and it does not affect your salah. You take your tayammum for the place where it's bleeding because you're not going to wet that place. Then you cover it. Then you take wudu and you rub around it with a wet hand. You rub around it. It's a face. You rub around it. You rub. Put water on your hand. You rub it. So bleeding doesn't break the wudu. There's some scholars who say, Abu Hanifa says, for example, that bleeding breaks the wudu. But we have great examples of the Prophet when they were in battle. Sahaba was wounded. But Sahaba made salah. Their wounds were bleeding. They just took wudu or tayam or whatever, and they made salah. So bleeding does not affect your wudu. But blood is najis. If there's blood on your body, you must remove it. Or on your clothes if you can. If you're not on the battlefield. But of course, you're in the battlefield. You don't have to remove anything. You just do that, tayammum, and then you make your salah. May Allah give us that opportunity to make tayammum on the battlefield. Or our children, or our grandchildren. So everybody agrees on that particular. So if you are ill, if you are ill, and what is considered to be illness? It's a very important question. So the Sharia says in many instances, if you're ill, don't have to go to Jummah, isn't it? Is it? All the ulama agree. Marda. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَى. If you are ill, who decides? You have to go to the doctor first on Friday morning. He must decide. No, no. If you decide that you are not well, then you are ill. It's your decision. Because you're the only one who can know. Even sometimes the doctor, you go to the doctor, you ask him, the doctor says, you know what, there's nothing wrong with you. Meanwhile, you've got this massive pain, he can't see it in your head or in your arm or in your back, or, you know. So that is a decision you make. So if you think you're ill, you can't go for Jumu'ah, you think you're ill, that's it. Because ultimately you're going to be answerable for what you think about yourself. Nobody else can do that. كذلك حديث عمرو بن العاص. It's another حديث عمرو بن العاص. You know, very famous man. What made him famous? No. What made him famous in terms of him as a man, as a Sahabi? What did he do? What was the greatest thing that he did in the time of Umar bin Khattab? He conquered Egypt. And because he conquered Egypt, the whole of North Africa fell one after each other, right up to the Atlantic Ocean. So he started that process. Prophet loved him a lot, Amr ibn al-As. So again, Amr ibn al-As was he was commander of the army at the Ghazwat Dhat al-Salasil. Ghazwat, a battle called Dhat al-Salasil. Salasil means chains, battle of the chains. It was something about chains. فَاحْتَلِمْ فِي لَيْلَةٍ بَارِدًا. He had a wet dream on a very cold night. He was the commander of the army. So, army rises when? Muslim army rises at what time? Fajr time. So the commander of the army, it's a very cold night, I said, very cold night. وَصَلَّى بِأَصْحَابِهِ. And he went and he led the prayer. Because nobody knew that he had a wet dream. He just assumed that he used his ishtihad and he said, no, I'm the commander of this army and I can take tayammum and I can lead the salah. فَلَمَّا قَدِمُوا ذَكَرُوا ذَلِكَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ. Allah wants what from you? Ease. No difficulty. So when they came to Medina, they mentioned this to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَقَالَ. Nabi called Amr ibn al-As. Ya Amru, Prophet said to you, أَصَّلَّيْتَ بِأَصْحَابِكَ وَأَنْتَ جُنُوب. Did you pray with your companions and you were junub? You had janaba, you know, you needed the ghusl. You prayed. فَقَالَ. Now the Sahaba never did anything unless and until the great ones, obviously, until they knew what they were doing. So he said to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he quoted an ayah of the Quran to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The ayah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. He said to the Prophet, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala says, do not kill yourselves. Verily, Allah is most, your Lord is most merciful over you. فَتَيَمَّمْتُ ثُمَّ صَلَّيْتُ. And he said, when this ayah came to me, I took tayammum and I made salah. Because I knew it was very cold. I could have died if I had used that cold water. What did the Prophet say to him? The Prophet laughed. Sometimes the Prophet smiled. And sometimes he laughed. The Prophet obviously not laughed in the sense that he said, he laughed because he was so impressed. It's subhanAllah. Look, my Sahabi, you know, what an answer. What an answer he gave. Amr ibn al-Khattab. فَضَحِكَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ شَيْئًا. The Prophet said nothing. MashaAllah, it's the right thing you did. You know, you had your dalil, you had your proof. Everything in Islam is evidence-based. So this shows that Marad is decided by the person. Or even if you feel your death is coming on, you say, well, I can't do this, you know, I may die. Your life is very important, subhanAllah. So, yes, we're now on. I just want to go to the methodology of tayammum. Just, I will finish it next week, inshallah. And also, I want to analyze this hadith for you next week. That was analyzed by Sheikh Al-Albani. Just the method, the way the ulama came to a conclusion. So tayammum is one hit. You either do it on the ground or you do it against a wall. And against the wall hadith, of course, is in both Bukhari and Muslim. One hit, لِأَنَّ ذَلِكُ وَالثَّابِتْ فِي الْأَحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحَةِ. The scholar says, because one hit is to be found in hadith, which is completely, what's the word? Completely what? Sahih, authentic. In other words, every man from the time of the Prophet is known, that has narrated that hadith, their histories are known, everything about them is known. وَلَمْ يَثْبُتْ مَا يُخَالِفْ ذَلِكْ مِنْ وَجِهِ الصَّحِيحِ. And there's no hadith which is on the same level that opposes it. Because we know Imam Shafi says that you must eat once for the face, once for the hands and the arms, isn't it? I think Imam Abu Hanifa says only for the hands. You wipe your face with one hit, you wipe your face and you wash your, you wipe inside and outside of the hand. Some say only inside, you can eat inside and outside of the hand. So it makes it, yuridullahu bikumul usr. Allah wants to make it easy for you. And everything that nullifies the wudu also nullifies the tayammum. So for Abu Hanifa, for example, if you touch a strange woman, doesn't nullify wudu, so the Hanafis would not nullify the tayammum. But for Ash-Shafi'is, if you touch a strange woman, it will nullify wudu, it will nullify your tayammum. If there are any questions that anybody would like to ask, then I will stay maybe 5 or 10 minutes after the salah, and then you can ask the questions, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت ونستغفرك ونتوب اليك وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد النبي الامي وعلى اله وصحبه